Okay, so today's shiur, the last couple of shiurim we discussed the issue of basically the application of the mitzvah of sukkah to nashim. So today we're going to discuss the application of the mitzvah both to gerim and to ketanim, right? The other two topics in the Gemara here on Chavos and Beis up until the Mishnah. So let's first do the topic of gerim as it comes first in the Gemara. And I want to read for us the part of the Gemara which is Shaykh, starting from the words Bahashta da Amris, about like 8 or 9 lines down from the top. Moshe, you want to go for it?
Sure. So the Gemara says Bahashta da Amris, Sukkah Hilchasehi. Now that we just said, both according to Abai and Rava, that Sukkah is really Halacha Moshe Mishinai, that women are excluded, Kralamali. Why do I need a pasuk of Ha Ezra?
Exactly.
So the Gemara answers, L'rabbis is a gerim, to come to include a gerim. Zakidai dechamina amet, I thought to say, Ha Ezrach b'Yisrael amarach vana, that the pasuk says, Ha Ezrach b'Yisrael, natives of Yisrael, to exclude, lo as a gerim, to exclude gerim, flash one, it comes to teach us that even gerim are included in this mitzvah.
Very good. So already in your careful translation of the Gemara, you're already hinting to one of the approaches in the Mepharshim. Basically, the question that you have to ask on the Gemara is, what exactly is the basis of this Havamina that Gerim would be excluded, right? If you didn't have the drasha of, hey, Larabos, that basically Gerim would be excluded from the mitzvah of Sukkah. So the question is, where is that coming from? And right off the bat, you could ask, what do you mean? It says Yisrael. But generally, just the word Yisrael does not exclude Gerim, because right, when a person is Megayer, they're fully fledged Jews, and since a Ger is a full fledged Jew, ordinarily they would not be excluded from at least the term Yisrael. So the question is, what then is the Havamina based on to exclude Gerim? So we're going to see there are three different answers to this question in the Mefarshim. So Tosfos is the first one. It's a little difficult, Tosfos, in terms of just getting through all the evidence. But in the end of the day, what comes out of Tosfos, I would read inside, but you wouldn't get so much out of it. In terms of Tosfos, the Rabbos Agerim, he's really just dealing with all the different cases. We're trying to work out the different evidence. But basically, the upshot of Tosfos is that the term B'nai Yisrael generally excludes Gerim, if not for those specific instances when there's a specific riboy to include Gerim. But basically, Tosfos' klal here, and other Tosfos in both Sanhedrin and Menachos, that their general rule is when you have a term B'nai Yisrael that excludes Gerim, because the idea is although a Ger is included in the term Yisrael, because it's full-fledged Kedushas Yisrael, but they're not included in the term B'nai Yisrael because they are not literally the children of, because their parents are not Jews. So that's Tosis' Shita, which seems to be implying here, therefore, the reason why Gerim are excluded here is because they're not included in B'nai Yisrael. And the obvious question is, if you look back in the Gemara after reading Tosos, which you should always do, right? Huh? Right? Is like, wait a second, there's no B'nai Yisrael in the Pasuk here. So, right? So who raises this question?
The Tzlach.
Right? So the Tzlach raises this question on Tosos and asks, like, if Tosos' whole Shita is about Gerim being excluded based on the term B'nai Yisrael, then how are they excluded from this pasuk, which only mentions the term Yisrael? So what is the Tzlach answer? That's B'nai Yisrael, exactly. Because the next pasuk, the Gemara quotes the first pasuk of Besukos Teshu Shivas Yamim, Kol Ezrach B'Yisrael Yeshu Besukos. So far they should be included. But then, as we know, the next pasuk is the man Yedu Derosechem Ki Besukos Hoshafti Es B'nai Yisrael. So says the Tzlach, the reason why in the Havmina Gerim are excluded from the Havmina to exclude Gerim is because of that term B'nai Yisrael in the next pasuk. So just two small issues with the Tzlach's interpretation of Tosos is, number one, the fact that when the Gemara is quoting, is justifying the Havmina, it quotes the pasuk of HaEzrach B'Yisrael. So it's very strange. I mean, obviously you can say, like, I guess, dot, 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 you know, v'chule, sometimes that happens, but Gemara knows that, right, v'chule. So, strange, right, basically question number one is just, it's a little strange that basically Gemara, according to this approach, basically quotes the wrong pasuk. That's problem number one. And it's more just technical, you know, lashon question, but the second issue, is a little stronger possibly, is that not just that the Gemara quotes from Pasuk, but if you look at the two Psukim, the Pasuk that the Gemara quotes is the one that talks about, is the one that mentions the Tzivui, right? The Pasuk that the Gemara quotes is Besukos Teshu Shivas Yamin Kola Ezech B'Yisrael Yishu Besukos. That's the Pasuk instructing Klal Yisrael to perform the mitzvah of Sukkah. So you would expect that that would be the Pasuk which dictates who it applies to. And it's in that Pasuk when the Torah is saying Kola Ezech B'Yisrael, when it's referring to which people are subject to the mitzvah. And therefore, since when the Pasuk is talking about the people who are subject to the mitzvah, it says the term Yisrael, if you insert Shitas Tosfos, it should be that Gerim would be included here. It's a little strange that we're being medayik from the next Pasuk, which is just telling us the commemoration, right? L'man yidu d'orosechem ki besuko sashati es b'nei Yisrael. Their b'nei Yisrael, that's talking about the history of that the Nes is commemorating the fact that that basically b'nei, that Kodesh Baruch Hu, you know, basically caused b'nei Yisrael to sit in Sukkos. So there the b'nei Yisrael is not only talking about who is subject to the Tzivoy, but rather in terms of who was subject to the Nes. So that's just a little strange. Also, not just beyond just the Lashon of the Gemara, but also in terms of the Pasuk, I mean, we're making the diuk seemingly from the wrong pasuk. Just one aura to be made from this second question is that this all gets back to the Shir Klali, like everything else, is the fact that we're using the second pasuk, which talks about the neis, kipisukos oshatis b'nei Yisrael, to be magdir who is chayiv, that stresses the importance of the tama mitzvah in the context of the mitzvah of sukkah. That here, it's not just, oh, like an extraneous tam, which, you know, happens to be at play, but that becomes really integrally, you know, the essence of the mitzvah. And once you take that approach, that here, besukos, the tam, or ki besukos hoshates b'nei Yisrael, becomes part, integrates into the mitzvah itself, then it becomes a little more bearable, you know, to understand how that pasuk can become the source of who is chayev. Still, you still have the problem that it's still not, in that pasuk, still not referring to who is chayev, but again, once you say that this factor of kibisuko soshate is not just a tam ba'alma, but it integrates into the mitzvah itself, then, you know, it's more plausible to start looking at that tam as indicative of who would be subject to the chayev.
In terms of diukim internally in the pasuk that weren't quoted, if you're about to say this, then you can shut me down, but
That's a strong language.
The Ritva's question about why say Ezra at all, that implies that Ezra is where we're being Medayik Logarim, and not Yisrael. Not the word Yisrael, the word Ezra.
Was it one more time? I mean,
from the Ritva's question about, like, of course, was it quoted people who asked, yeah, why say Ha Ezra at all? If
just leave out the whole thing.
Ezra implies not Gerim, and then he is being part of that. So that. So Ezra would apply Ezra below Gerim, basically.
I'm not exactly sure what you're... let's just get to that right now and then ask the question. I'm not 100% sure I'm understanding what you're asking. But the second approach, what Yisrael is referring to, is the approach of the Ritva. It's quoting Balei Tosfos, right? Obviously not our Balei Tosfos, who we just presented have a different approach to the sugya. But basically, the Balei Tosfos quoted in the Ritva give another answer. Exactly as Yisrael said, their midayik the havamina, and as Moshe very accurately translated the Gemara, from the term Ezra, right, which literally means natives. So, right, the diuk, according to this approach, is not from the Bnei Yisrael in the next pasuk, but it's coming from the very phrase quoted by the Gemara, which is better in those terms. In fact, it says Ezrach Bisrach, because in Echanami, the term Yisrael alone includes Gerim, but the term Ezrach, which means natives, that is what excludes Gerim. That's the approach.
And how does
So now what's your question?
It's linguistic.
Yeah. The fact that it says the natives of Yisrael, it's coming to say Dafka, the natives, Dafka, those who were
born.
Exactly, born to the nation. Yeah, exactly.
Do we have rise from like elsewhere in
the Ezrach, I'm not sure. But I think that's a little, meaning, as Moshe pointed out, that is the literal translation of it. So it seems to be the Pashup Shat in the Sugyu.
But the native citizen, it's the same.
Yeah, I hear. But that's the diuk that the Ritva mentions. The Ritva then asks basically two questions on this answer. One of them not being just the fact that Ezra doesn't sound to be translated like that, but rather, question number one is the fact, this is what I told you to see a little bit before he actually starts talking about this, because in the same piece, and this is why the Ritva discussed it in this context, the Ritva basically quotes the Ramban, who uses the term Ezra for a different purpose basically being the makor for teshu kein tadziru, right? And that's the approach that the Ritzva himself likes. So because the Ritzva likes that Ramban, that the term ezrach, this idea of ezrach ra'anan, this idea of, you know, the mitzvah of sukkah only applying in pleasant situations, because the Ritzva accepts the Ramban, that word is utilized for the din of teshu kein tadziru. He therefore says, basically, that word is no longer mutar, to then be utilized in this fashion, to then to be memayit the gerim. So question number one is that, oh, if you hold, like the Ramban, that you use that term Ezra, Patesha Kein Tadru, you can no longer make this drasha. And then question number two, is what Yisrael was also referencing before, is that, basically, you know, why does the Torah get itself into trouble to have to redeem itself, right? Why does it use the term Ezra, which seems to exclude gerim, to then have to add the extra hay to include them? Why not just leave the term out, just say Yisrael, and from Yisrael you'd include gerim? Why go through the whole hab mina manaskana if you can just get right to the point? So that's the second question that the Ritzva asks on this second approach, and the reason why we're mentioning it, it's important in and of itself, but also we're going to see that an interesting answer to that question based on the third approach. Yeah, so the first question is that you can't utilize the word Ezra to be fuke gerim if you think that that term, like Ramban thinks, if you think that that term is the makor for teshu kein tadziru. Like Ramban thinks that, what's the makor for teshu kein tadziru? That term Ezra, which he darshans out as Ezra
Hanan.
Exactly. You can't double dip. But so that's question one. Question number two is that, okay. He basically presents this answer to Tosfos and then basically rejects it based on both of these factors.
Was that really a question? We have Ezra Darshan and Teshu Kein Tadziru. Because isn't it clear that Bali Tosfos didn't agree with that?
He admits. He's saying this is only.
He's plugging in his Rebbe's Kiddush until Bali Tosfos.
If you look carefully at his Lashon, he seems to be even handed. He basically says, he's saying, he doesn't say that everyone has a hold of it. He says, if you hold of this, you hold of this Pshat of the Ramban, which I do, then you can. But he's admitting, right? He says, yeah, right, even when he asks his second question, he says, Vesula didzu delome farshi Ezra latayma tikasivna. He's basically, even if you don't hold to my first question, because you don't hold the Ramban's drasha of Ezra, he still have a second question. So he's admitting that not everybody holds to this idea, but he's basically saying, L'shitasi, I'm not so comfortable with this interpretation, because it doesn't work out with the Ramban, which he holds of. Fine. So basically, right, first approach is coming from Bnei Yisrael in the second pasuk. Second approach is coming from the word Ezra.
So the question is that why say that they're plundered from
Ezra? I mean the second question?
Yeah, from Ezra with the bees, because you just said.
Not the bees, but meaning according to the second approach, what's going on is that the Torah utilizes the word Ezra, which has the implication that gerim are excluded, and then comes along and adds in hey to say, oh, by the way, they are included. So the question is, why not just drop the whole word, the Ezrach, along with the hay, and then your status quo is that they're included? Because where are you marviach from, you know, going in this little roller coaster of, you know, thinking that they were originally excluded and then having to, you know, have an added drasha? So we're mentioning that because we're about to give offer an interesting answer to that. So this takes us to the third approach, which is mentioned by the Gilyonei Hashas, right? Which is Rav Yosef Engel's Sefer. Not to be confused with Gilyon Hashas of Rav Akiva Eger. However, the Gilyon Hashas of Rav Yosef Engel, basically he cites a day, I'm not exactly sure who he's quoting, but a very interesting answer, and says the reason why there's a habamina to exclude gerim, because if you think back to the nes of the Anan and Kavod that this mitzvah is coming to commemorate, if you look back in history, the gerim of the time, i.e. the Erev Rav, were not included in the nes of the Anan and Kavod. And because the gerim at the time were not included in the nes, so therefore it would make sense for gerim nowadays not.
Yes,
well, I'm not sure about that, but
they slept outside. They couldn't build their own tukins. Everyone else was building things.
Well, I'm saying
we'd rather sleep on the floor. Well, the if they didn't have Anan and Kavod, most certainly they would have built on these.
Well, in the Manda Amar of Sukkos Mamish is not that they built them, it's that they were given them. That's the whole point. So the question is not, oh, they would have built their own. They would have built their own, and it's not a maze. Either way, he's accepting the approach of Anan and Kavod, which is fine. That's his approach. I mean, there's a Machlokes of Tanaim, and he's passing like one. We saw an earlier shiurim that people take sides on that question and passing like one way or the other. So the question doesn't really get off the ground because he's just passing like one. But even if he holds like Sukkos Mamash, he could say that, you know, Hashem didn't provide those Sukkos Mamash, the one. In fact, they built them themselves. That again wouldn't be, you know, when you build your own house, you don't necessarily, you know, have a mitzvah commemorating that. Other nice things you do, but so I'm saying the whole mitzvah, even the one that are Sukkos Mamash, because Hashem Kodesh Baruch Hu provided that, and that was its own form of an ace, and it could be that they were also precluded from that, but I'm not sure about that. But either way, so what the Gilyoni Hashas is pointing out is that, oh, if you look back at the Nes, which is commemorated by the mitzvah, since the Gerim were excluded, so therefore Gerim Menastam, you would assume, would be excluded from the Nes. Just before we go on, it's important to note again that it's interesting that we're looking, again, you see that this factor of Kibisukos Hashatis B'nai Yisrael, you know, the subject of the commemoration of the Nes really playing this fundamental role in terms of the mitzvah itself. Once again, seeing that this factor of Kibisukos Hashatis B'nai Yisrael is not just some side external factor, but really is essential to the mitzvah itself. And there, only once you say that Kibisukos Hashatis is fundamental to the mitzvah, would you then say, oh, someone who was excluded from that would thereby, and at least you'd have a habamina, they'd be excluded from the mitzvah as well. So both within your own, this approach and the first approach on more of like, you know, a diuk level, coming from the second pasuk, and this is going back to the, you know, the neis, both of them are, you know, representing this strong focus on kibisukos hashatis b'nei Yisrael, which makes sense in light of the bach and everything we've discussed in past year. I'll just finish this next point and then we'll take questions. So in line with this Gilyoni Hashas, now getting back to that Ritva's question, the Chida, who's, I do not have the Kiyas in, but he was quoted in the Mikrai Kodesh in Simen Nun, so the Chida, in his own way, comes on to the same factor that the Havamina to exclude Gerim, is like Rav Yosef Engel, is this idea that because the Gerim themselves were excluded from the Nes, and then he says, once you take this approach, you can now answer the Ritva's question. He doesn't refer to it as the Ritva's question, he asks it himself, but from our perspective, it's the Ritva's question, right? And the Ritva's question was, why have a miut to then need to have a riboy? So, because the Chida happens to be going with an approach where you have like the Yisrael, he thinks is Mamayit, and then you have the Heil Ravos, but along the lines, however you interpret the miut and then the riboy, the question is, once again, whenever you have a miut and then a riboy, just drop the whole thing. So his answer is, once you take this approach that there's an idea, we're trying to focus on the fact that the gerim were excluded from the original nes, so it could be that we're trying to do through the miut, so that even though in the end of the day we're going to be mechayev gerim for whatever reason, because once they're part of Klal Yisrael, they get all the halachos, but we still go through the process of miut and the riboy to remind us of the fact that the Gerim were originally not included, that the Erev Rav were not included in that original Nes. So the reason why we do the Miut and then the Riboy, even though we could have just, you know, skipped the whole process and just remained at status quo, is specifically to highlight this notion that that original Nes, so the Non-Yakovah, was limited to Klal Yisrael proper and did not include the Erev Rav, the original Gerim. So in order to highlight that Yisod, that's why we go through this Miut Riboy process.
Both Tosfot and the Ritva are in Sukkim, similar to what you were doing. Where's the Gilyoni Hashas coming from the Pasuk?
Yeah, so that's another good point. I was thinking that and I forgot to mention that. A problem, I mean, similar to the fact that we said Estakasha on Tosis is Mahalak, but the fact that he quotes the wrong Pasuk,
right.
Akasha on this approach is that we're quoting a Pasuk at all, 100%. That, so it's interesting, the Gilyoni Hashas makes it sound like, oh, the exclusion is just from the fact they're excluded from the Nes. Interesting that the Chida, the way he formulates it, he like does both together. He says it's coming from a pasuk, and that the reason for the pasuk is to mention this idea. So he has sort of like
so
Efrelik Hayim Shnei.
Compensating for the lack of B'nai. This
idea. He doesn't explicate that, I don't think. But you could have said that. Meaning, end of the day, he happens to think that the miut is coming from Yisrael. That's his approach. He thinks that Yisrael itself has been my Gerim.
He doesn't say B'nai.
So it could be that he doesn't hold the Tosfos as a mahalach. I'm not sure. So it could be that he learns all the evidence the Tosfos is quoting in the opposite way, to say even the Yisrael is Mamai Gerim, which would be a little hard. That's the way the Chida says it. But at the end of the day, in answer to... No, not the Chida happens not to. If you look at the Chida... No.
But he said that is how he answers the question why we have a miyud of Ezra.
The idea of having a miyud and then a riboy. So they're different. I mean, the ritva happens to go in the route of Ezra and then the hay. So the chida happens to go with Yisrael and then the hay. But in terms of this question of why you're going through the process of the miyud and then a riboy, it doesn't really matter where the miyud is coming from. So from that, I'm just saying, in the general sense, the process of going from a miyud and then a riboy, that is, he mentions this factor of them being excluded from the names to explain that process, but he happens to go in a little different route. I'm sorry if it wasn't so clear.
Why do we care whether the Erev Rav was included or not if the Maaseh Gerim still have to? Like, we have this whole miyud riboy just to teach us this lesson. Well, is that really necessary? Is it worth it to have a miyud riboy just to teach us this point?
Which direction? Do you think it's more intuitive that they be included or not included?
So the
Chida's piece there is coming to explain that, like, you know, the special chesed of that nes was specific to Bnei Israel proper, and not the Erev Rav. Remember, we were discussing Seder, the Erev Rav were not Stam Gerim. They're also, you know, with the, you know, Chazal associate a lot of bad things with the Erev Rav. So it could be that the point was that we're trying to, you know, highlight that, you know, that special, you know, Chesed was limited to Klal Yisrael and not to
Erev Rav.
Exactly.
Exactly.
What?
Right
back,
there is a
halakh now. Okay, very good. That's also a good point.
Between
the
Arab
opera,
like bad
gear,
and supposedly
gear,
etc.
I hear. That's an interesting point. I'm not sure. But, or it could be, many remember, the maskana is that they're not excluded. It could be just the idea of going through the process is to remind us of the fact that the original Gerim were Arab Rav, and to remind us of.
I would think, because the bad Gerim were excluded, therefore the great Gerim also.
I hear. Okay. Meaning, I hear. I mean, it's a category. Meaning, it's a category of Gerim, so. Yesh l'chalek, but at the end of the day, they were gerim. So I don't know how difficult it is, but that's the question as well.
So we just have these two mead things, is just an agadic point?
According to the Chida, yes. Or according to the Shira, saying no, it could be this is part of the, you know, integrates into the proper kavana. I mean, in this context, you know, sometimes, you know, the lines are blurred a little bit between the Agada and the Halacha. In terms of the Kibisukos, anything relating to Kibisukos HaShatias B'nai Yisrael, if that's part of what your Kavanah has to be, even with Halacha, so it could be that that ends up having Halacha not giving as well. That's exactly as Asher is. Okay, so, fine. So Abkan is, you know, the Gerim part of the Sugya. And just, right, again, the Havmina to exclude is presented to the three different, you know, Hacham in terms of what the Havmina was to exclude. Fine. So now moving on to the Ketanim part of the Sugya, which is a little bigger. So you just turn to, you know, the Mishnah on Chav Chesem and Aleph. I feel like Yisrael offered before. You beat him to the punch, so you're going to get back on the horse. Are you starting with Manashim?
Yeah. Ba'avadim, Ketanim, Turim, and Asakah. Vata, She'inu, Tzarek, Le'ilo, Chayim, Asakah. So women, servants, and children are pater, and when it says katan, that's talking about a katan, that doesn't mean his mother. That doesn't mean his mother, but if he needs his mother, then if he does not need his mother, then he's fine.
Or it's talking on a deraisa level, depending on how you want to slice that. It could be the first line is midaraisa, and then comes the second line and says, oh, but midrabanan. That's another way to read it.
Chayev is, it happened once that Shammai Zakin's wife gave birth.
Daughter-in-law.
And he, like, they broke open the top of the crib, that thingy, and then put scarf over it so that the katan be yosei, because if so they put stop there so that the katan be yotzei.
Exactly.
Presumably this katan was tzarabi.
Well, that's the Gemara is going to discuss. It sounds like it's the fact that it's a baby. Yeah. The yalda. I mean, the implication is that it's even Meaning, presumably it's even, it's not, it's Enos Arach Li'imo, and the Chiddush is that Shammai holds, as he argues, that's the Gemara's going to ask, am I Solistor? So we're going to get to that.
Is the Maziv on top of the crib or like on top of the surface?
I thought the maziva was part of like the house, toward like the roof of the house. So you just knock it off and you just put it on top of the crib. I'm not sure if it was yashen tachas amita as much as just it was the regular amita. You just
maziva is the roof.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Okay, but no, those details were not as important. But yeah, so now getting to the gemara and chavches on the base. Let's just do the first piece in the gemara and then we'll do each piece and then we'll discuss each one. Amar mar. That was before that. Oh, I see the two dots. Amar Mar Kol Rabos is a Ketana.
Amar Mar Kol Rabos is a Ketana. Kol and Kol Zach Yisrael includes Ketana that they're Chayim. So Bahash Dan Rasha Madim Ketana Turim Esaka. Didn't the Mishnah say that they're Pater? Lo Kasha. Kan Bekatam Shi Yalafino. Kan Bekatam Shlo Yalafino. Right. So that's including Ketana. That's when they were Magia. The age of Ketana. When the Mishnah was Pater them. Talking about before they reach the age of them.
Okay. As Tosus points out, which is exactly the chiluk the Mishnah makes, and he just brings parallels where you have this idea where the Gemara spells out the chiluk, which is explicit in the Mishnah. Either way, next question. Katan
Shigilatinach.
And the kasha is the price up, brought
a pasuk.
Exactly, but a drasha implying that it's Dorei. So. Exactly. Fine. So just stop here for a moment, and then we'll come back to you. Right, so basically, right off the bat, you see here that you already saw from the Mishnah, that in terms of the shear for chinuch, in regards to the mitzvah of sukkah, is what? Ein sarach le'imo. Right, you no longer need your mother. So just to quickly read the end of Tosos, Dir Maskel Kan. See the, say, four lines up, first word of the line is v'hashta.
V'hashta. Higiel chinach darminan v'kol duchta ein kulan shavet. Higiel chinach, the definition is not the same in every context. Ela kol echad l'fi inyanim. Dehacha minan v'ein zer l'imo v'gavi l'giga sh'yachol ba'alos. The definition by l'giga is zer l'imo is whether he's able to...
And not zer l'imo is whatever the sheer chinach.
Higiel chinach is if he's able to be
exactly. So now, basically, now the question we have to ask is, right, in most of these cases, it's pretty straightforward, right? I mean, the basic yisod is when the katan, you know, is shayach to the ma'aseh mitzvah, when you can perform the ma'aseh mitzvah independently. He can. He's subject to midin chinuch, and if not, not. So there are a couple of interesting things we're not going to do. Right, just a quick one, just because of the third parak at night. It's important that in the context of lulav, it's sarach l'naneya, which is just its own discussion of the role of na'nuim when it comes to the mitzvah. But don't we say mida'agba be nafik be? Right, when you pick it up, you're yotzei na'nuim or not ma'akev. So it's an interesting. You can be midayek from the sheer chinuch in different contexts. Certain important things about the mitzvah itself, like there, it shows that na'nuim do play an integral role to the mitzvah itself. But besides for that, most of them are pretty straightforward, right? Alila regel, if you can make the trip, tzitzis is about putting it on. Well, most of them really make sense. But the question is, you have to ask, is what exactly is this idea of ein sarach le'imo? Meaning, when it comes to the mitzvah of sukkah, it's about, you know, can you eat and sleep in a sukkah? So what's this idea of being independent from one's mother? Why is in the context of the mitzvah of sukkah, why in the case of the mitzvah of sukkah is the koveya, this factor, being independent from one's mother?
So just, you the grace.
Exactly, we'll get there. But so basically in a general sense, even before getting to the grace, the general answer shows I was like, my first thought was Gemara, I was really bothered by this. I just couldn't like grit, and all of a sudden like it hit me. I'm like, oh. So right, just the push-up shot is that at the end of the day, right, the basic idea is that since Nashim, right, this is the daf, the Nashim, meaning since Nashim are peturos from Sukkah, so Minastam, you're going to assume that they're, let's say, inside the house, right? You can't assume that they're going to be in the Sukkah. So that's just point number one. You have to just realize that once we establish that Nashim, Me'ikar Adin, right, are peturos from Sukkah, so Minastam, you're going to assume that they're not going to be in the Sukkah, and therefore, deciding whether the child is subject to the mitzvah of sukkah is basically the question: is he independent from his mother? Can he leave his mother and go dwell in the sukkah? That's just in a general sense. And just now, the two different ways to formulate this, you could say they're two sides of the same coin, but there might be a slight difference between them. The second one being the Grizz. But before you even get to the Grizz, I think the basic pshat in the Sugya is that all these shiurim in Chinuch is when you are subject to the Ma'isa Mitzvah, right? And here, where the Ma'isa Mitzvah is about dwelling in the Sukkah, if you can't independently dwell in the Sukkah, so forget about the Ptur Mitzvah. Just, are you shayach to the Ma'isa Mitzvah? And here, since, especially in light of our approach, that it's not just about, you know, performing the discrete actions, almost like a Achila or a Shena, but it's about, you know, changing your residence from the house to the sukkah. So the question is this child, can he change his primary residence to a place where his mother is not? So the pashpshat of this explanation, of the idea here, is that as long as the child is not independent from his mother, he can't change his primary residence to a place where his mother is not going to be. So pashpshat is, you don't even have to come on to the Ptur Mitzvah, it's just simply, if he can't perform the Ma'isa Mitzvah in its totality, so then he's not going to be subject to the Mitzvah. The other way to say this, and this is where the Grizz comes in, it's a little choppy, to say, not just focusing on the positive, but and if you were to make him go in the Sukkah, and because of these factors, as we'll see in a second, he'll be Mitzvah, and Mitzvah is Patur Mina Sukkah, so that's why he's not subject to the Mitzvah. So, yeah, so the difference between the first one and the second one is the first one is just saying positively, the mitzvah of sukkah is to, right, independently establish a sukkah as your base dira, and this child cannot kolzman that he's tzarech l'imo. The Grizz is saying the other side of the coin and saying that the flip side is that the reason why the katan is not shayach to the mitzvah is because if he were to do the mitzvah, then he'd be in a situation of tsar, and a mitzvah is pater min ha-sukkah. So he just goes that extra step, but pashpat, you don't need to come on to that. It's just, as long as you're not subject to the positive mitzvah, you don't have to come on to, and would there be a p'tur, because in all the other cases, you don't have a p'tur mitzvah, we don't have such an idea. But that's the way the Grizz says it. And it is an interesting point that actually Eitan and I think I heard other people pointing at as well. An assumption that the Grizz makes here by applying the Ptur Mitzdayer here is, if you think about it, does the tsar stem from the sukkah? It doesn't. The tsar comes from not having your mother. That's not the sukkah. So if anything, I mean, the Grizz is making a certain.
Yeah, because it's a katan, and that's the difference than an avel. Avel, we said the Gemara says.
I'm saying, Abel is not the category. Abel was an example. We'll get there. I'm saying, but that's not the factor. Meaning, there are different approaches of Mitzdayer, right? Certain approaches of Mitzdayer, i.e., the Uraim, is that Ptur Mitzdayer only applies when you have two conditions fulfilled. Number one, the tsar stems from the sukkah, and leaving the sukkah would alleviate that tsar. So here, you don't have that factor number one. You don't have the factor that the tsar is coming from the sukkah. So it doesn't matter whether he can be miyas v'daita. At the end of the day, according to the Uraim, if the tsar is not coming from the sukkah, like in this case, it's coming from not having your mother, so then the Ptur Mitzdayer doesn't apply. So basically the Grizz is making a certain assumption in terms of, applying the Ptur Mitzdayer here, and therefore we presented the first option, which you don't need to come on to that, as long as you simply say he's not shayach to the mitzvah, because he cannot perform the mitzvah, which is about independently establishing the sukkah as your base dira, as your headquarters, then that is why it doesn't apply. Perhaps. I don't remember, but it could be.
It's possible that the two sides of the coins are really the two deos.
We'll get there in a second. Just one last hour about the Grizz. This is important for the Mitzdayer. So either, you have to go back to the old Sugya. So either this Grizz belongs to the camp of people who say that, the Ma'arik, that Ptur Mitzdayer does not have to be associated with the Sukkah at all. It'd be an important Marmakon for that. Or you say, which is, you can say even more important because we didn't have so many Mefarshim in this camp, is we mentioned that the Uraim had two different Tanayim in terms of relating the tsar to the sukkah. Number one is that the tsar stemmed from the sukkah, right? The source of the tsar was the sukkah. And tonight, number two was that leaving the sukkah would alleviate the tsar. So here, you don't have factor number one, because it's coming from, the lack of your mother, not coming from the sukkah. But you do have factor number two of the fact that if you would leave the sukkah and you'd go inside, you'd then have your mother. So it could be that the Grizz doesn't necessarily align with the Ma'arik to think that you don't need any connection to the sukkah, but he thinks you need a connection to the sukkah, but not a connection that requires the tzar to directly stem from the sukkah, but needs the connection in the sense that as long as leaving the sukkah would alleviate the tzar, that's enough of a tzirah between the tzar and the sukkah to basically constitute a pter mitzar. So that's important. The Griz is either in one of those two categories, which were headless rishonim, less mefarshim, accepting them. Fine. So that was just the general idea of Ein Tzarach L'Imo, and now we're going to, after we take some questions, we'll get now into, you know, I guess the details of Ein Tzarach L'Imo in terms of how exactly to define them, and then we'll discuss Yisrael's point. I guess, but before Yisrael goes back to read, yeah?
How exactly does Yochel Lehidatzel play into the Griz?
Because, meaning, the Griz's situation is where if the, right, the child is only mitzayer because he's inside the sukkah without his mother. If he were to leave the sukkah and go back into his home, presumably where his mother is, then the tzar would be alleviated.
Is there any evidence that he says that in what he says? Can he just go either way? Maybe just let it
back? I said that. I mean, I said it's either the Griz is like the Ma'arik, to say that you don't need any connection at all. I mean, he just applies tzar. He's not right, and that's not the context of mitzar. It's the context of katan, which is always important. If he's making, certain assumptions regarding another halacha, he would have to, you know, analyze and understand. Obviously, he learned that sugi. He knows the sugi there. He's obviously, you know, has an approach there. So I was saying, either he thinks like the Ma'arik that you don't need any connection, or he thinks that you need some form of connection, but only a connection in the sense that leaving would alleviate the tzar, and that happens to exist here. No, he doesn't. I mean, all the Griz is saying that if he were to go in the sukkah, he would have a true mitzvah, therefore the mitzvah never applies to him. Yeah, he's not saying that the little kid has to go in, has to start crying. That's cruel. Meaning, we don't think that's what's going on. Okay, so getting back to now the Gemara, which is discussing the details in terms of how we're magdir the this shear of Ein Tzarach L'Imo. So I'm make sure.
Can I just ask a quick technical question?
It's technical? Yeah.
What was the Gemara's Hafmina that Kol is Marva Tanim Vido Raisa, if we know that Rabbi Lezer and Ham use it already for their respective drashos?
Say Kol Ezra, I mean like Chavzayim Aviz?
Yeah.
Rabbi Lezer.
Like was Rashi pointed out, right? Like, oh, and then Kol is used by Reb Lezer Kadesh.
I'm saying, if a technical question you can answer technically, then it could be as a third Tana. I mean, you don't know who this Tana is.
Right.
I'm saying. So, okay. So, otherwise you're right. I mean, you can't. Should be. So, if you think it's a valid Havamina, you're assuming it would be a third Tana. I would assume.
That should be.
That's the Moskana. He's asking what the Havamina was to take it seriously. So you have to say that it's the third time. Okay, so now the second part of the Gemara, but the Hechidami.
Hechidami, Katan Shein Tzarech L'Imo. What is the case? Amri Dibei Rabbianai, Kol Shenifna Veini Yom Ekanakto. Any child that goes to the bathroom and doesn't need his mother to wipe.
Exactly.
Rebbe Oler, Kol Shenaor Mishenaso Veino Kore Yima. Any child that wakes up from the sleep and does not cry out, mother. Gedolam nami karu.
Oh, the key. Ima.
Ima gedolam nami karu. But there are children older than.
I still
there are children that.
You too?
That yeah. Are not Tzarach L'Imo, yet still call out mother.
Dedication to one's mother, yeah?
Kol shenar ve'eino kore ima.
Ah.
Are there anyone who wakes up and doesn't repeatedly call for his mother? Is
that
not sorry. Exactly. Is someone who's not sorry.
Exactly. Okay. So here you have two deos in the Gemara, which most people are not all made on in terms of what the significance is. But right, you have two deos in terms of whether the geder of Ein Tzarach L'Imo is based on being self-sufficient in terms of, say, bathroom needs, or in terms of, you know, self-sufficient in terms of, you know, sleeping needs. I'm already presenting in a certain light. So, but I was thinking when I was learning this Gemara. And we'll, I guess we'll buttress this in a couple of minutes, and we discuss, you know, quickly, you know, the whole sugya, I mean, the whole topic about, you know, what the exact age of Ein Tzarach L'Imo is, just in a ha'ara that should be pointed out, is that I didn't see anybody who's tole, you know, what age we're talking about on this machlokas. Right, no, I didn't see anybody. I didn't see the Gemara. I mean, the Gemara in Ervin doesn't, even though it quotes both. And all the Rishonim, they assume they group both of these Deos together. So it could very well be that, I mean, they're talking about the same age. They're not arguing technically about how old this child is. Both of these situations are describing the same age, as in the fact that no one distinguishes between them in terms of the age.
But if he wipes, but calls out mother, then he has not logos.
I'm saying, I think that generally, meaning, that's a general question about the, when we say an age, is it lefi churfe? That's part of, you know, Rishonim discuss. I mean, is it specific to the person or not, or is it just describing an age? I think that's part of the machlokes we'll see later. But in a general sense, the fact that no one seems to distinguish and say, oh, meaning, Rav Yannai thinks it's 6, and Rebbe thinks it's 5, no one seems to be saying that, so it could very well be that they're agreeing in a general sense that both of these descriptions describe the same age. But the reason why they're coming from their different angles is perhaps based on their respective shitos regarding the mitzvah of sukkah. In that, the following. As we'll see, actually, probably our last year on Sundays, in the topic of the birchas leishev, right? So in the topic of the bracha of leishev, there's a whole discussion, as we'll see, in terms of, is that limited to certain types of ishtamshus in the sukkah? The whole question is limited to achila. Some apply it. I say it's daka achila. Some explain why. No, it should theoretically, fundamentally, it should have been shena. And in that discussion, the Rishonim are taking sides on this very important issue of what is the ikar hishtamshus of sukkah. Right, we know you're chayav to do achila, shtia, teal, shena, all these things in the sukkah. So do we say that they're all equal hishtamshus, or no? Is one of them ikar, even though you have to include all of them? So it could very well be that what the machlokas. It's my suggestion. I haven't seen it anywhere. That the machlokes between these different deos is not technically in terms of what age is, but they're basically describing the same age, possibly from different angles, based on their respective shitas of what is the ikar hishtamshus of a sukkah, and as follows. Rav Yannai, who's focusing, let's say, I don't know, it's the bathroom independence, is focused on, you know, let's say, that is a siman for the hishtamshus while a person is awake. Masha Inkin Rebbe, or Reb Shimon, is focusing specifically on Shena because he thinks, no, the Shena Hishtamshus is the Ikar Hishtamshus. So it could be that the Machlokas here, if you're going to ask, oh, why are we focusing on bathroom and not other things that you double awake, I'm not sure about that. But it could be just in contrast, especially in the contrast of the Shena, that basically the different stuff in here is what is the Ikar Hishtamshus of the Sukkah? You know, the Hishtamshus during one's sleeping hours, second day, or Hishtamshus during one's wake hours, and maybe perhaps that is why they're each coming from different angles. As I was pointing out before, the Gemara in Ervin, when it's discussing the age here, quotes both of them together and it doesn't distinguish, and none of the Rishonim that I saw so far distinguish between them. So perhaps they're not arguing. And it could be they are. I mean, this pshat would make sense even if they are arguing in ages. I'm just saying, the fact, if they're not arguing in ages, then that highlights what the machlokas is clearly coming from you know, different perspectives on the mitzvah of sukkah. It could be that, you know, because they're coming from different perspectives on the mitzvah of sukkah, they end up having an afkamina of which age it is also, or in your case where a kid can do one without the other. You could also say that. I'm just saying, the fact that if you assume that there's no chiluk in age, then obviously you have to come onto something, you know, fundamental here in terms of what exactly, why then are they coming onto different factors? And we're explaining now, they come into different factors because they have different perspectives in terms of what exactly is the ikar hishtamshus of the sukkah. So just in terms of, you know, just a quick reference, we'll see this on Sunday, in terms of the birchos leishev, where you see this idea of certain hishtamshus being more ikar than others. So there, Rabbeinu Tam, this is in the quote in the Rush, Perek Dalet, Simon Gimel, there, Shitas Rabbeinu Tam, it's a famous Rabbeinu Tam, which says that the Achila is an Iker Hishtamshus. So, there, it's not exactly the same Shita as Rav Yannai, because obviously Rabbeinu Tam there is focusing on Achila, even Lafuki, other daytime activities, whatever, such as the Tiyul and other things. So, I'm not trying to align them directly, but at least trying to point out that there is a notion in the Rishonim, because before there's Rishonim, you could have said, what meaning, you're chayiv in all these actions, who says there's a notion of one of them being ikar or not? So basically bringing this Rabbeinu Tam to show that there is a concept of certain hishtamshios being more ikar than others, and it could be the Rabbeinu Tam focuses on achila, while Rav Yannai, for instance, focuses on all daytime activities. And then you have the Rush himself, who argues in Rabbeinu Tam, and I'm not going to read it here, we'll see on Sunday, but basically assumes that Shena is the ikar is really the Iker Hishnamshus, and therefore he brings a raya from the fact that, oh, even Shenas Arai is Asr Chutzal Sukkah, which he could have understood in a different way, but he understands that as being a simon that Shena is more Iker than Achila, which is Mutter Derech, Ofen Arai Chutzal Sukkah, and he says, oh, the only reason why we don't make a bracha on Shena, even though Shena is the Iker Hishnamshus, is because the chashash bracha levatala, you might not fall asleep. But either way, this rush would happen to align very much with this Rabbi Shimon, or Rebbe, the second day, which says that the Iker is a Shena. So just pointing out to those Rishonim, just to highlight that you see this idea in the Rishonim of certain Hishtamshios being Iker, and it's therefore possible to suggest that the Machlokas between Rabbi Yanai and Rabbi Shimon, or Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, and Rish Lakish, is this fact of what exactly is the Iker Hishtamshios of the Sukkah, which would thereby dictate, you basically patterned it, the mitzvah, the shir of chinuch, based on the Iker mitzvah. That's my piece. Yeah?
Rashi, in the beginning of the parak, the second parak, says, Iker yeshiva sasoka achila shtia v'shina.
Oh, yeah.
First of all, that would tell us that those are the three shiva.
Oh, no, that really includes everything. Achila
The teal, obviously, is not chiyuv
necessarily.
Yeah, so I'm saying that... Set, the chiddush here is that there's a...
And they're equal. And even if you don't argue that, then... What I'm saying, like, if you want to distinguish between the two days,
I actually have it on the one in my
Gemara
also. But
what?
I don't know. He says that they're equal. Meaning, you always have to figure out the context of what. Meaning, I'm not sure. You have to figure out always the context. Meaning, it's clear from these Rishon.
Distinguishing the two days between like sleeping and awake, but there's a difference between saying awake and.
I pointed that out. I said that the Rabbeinu Tam is not exactly Rabbi Yanai, because Rabbeinu Tam is focusing on Achila, and Rabbi Yanai, according to this pshat, is focusing on all, you know, awake activities. I was just bringing Rabbeinu Tam as a sin, and there is a notion of certain Hishtamshios being more Iker than others. As I pointed out, you could have just, I mean, off the bat, I wouldn't have said that. I would have said, okay, meaning whatever your Chayav, exactly like this Rashi, as you're interpreting, whatever your Chayav, whatever is Chayav in the Sukkah, is Iker. So what's that notion? Okay, yeah?
Why can't you align with Yana and Rabbeinu Tam in saying that because the Machlokas in the Gemara seems to be, meaning that they're talking about independence. So just like Rebbe, he says, what's called being independent in your sleep? Not needing your mother to be there when you wake up. What's called being independent when you eat? Because the whole process, when you eat, you go to the bathroom.
Okay, interesting. I didn't think of those terms, but that's interesting. You're saying you can connect that to the Achilah also.
It's all different being independent, not needing your mother. You don't need your mother when you eat.
Okay, interesting. I hear that. Interesting. So that'd be more direct.
So if we say that
Rabbi
Yanai is really that each one of these Rishonim aligns with one of these Tanayim,
I mean, it's a parallel. I'm not saying that they have to.
So then,
you're saying
that,
why it should
so that means that they're paskening that each, why would they paskin like one over the other? What did they see to pick that I like this fita over that fita? Normally, when we have paskin the Gemara, it's not just random. So,
I'm saying,
if you hold the Ikri Shiva as the Achilah and Paskin like.
There are two points to be made. I mean, number one, if you assume that it has to be Pelei Halbaha, which I'm going to say, second point, that it doesn't necessarily have to be, but if you want to say, then whatever exactly is Yisrael saying, whatever drove the Binatama, whatever drove the rush to think that the Achilah or the Shina is Ikr, so then whatever that was based on. All the sugyas of whatever you look at that sugya, that would. What?
In that case, they don't, because neither one actually quotes either Amor. So if you want to tell that he's telling the others, they didn't actually pass anything based on the Amor. They just came to decide the other one, and we're deciding they must hold like that Amor if they were to
Yes, okay. Just because you used the word must. The second point is that it doesn't necessarily have to be the case. I mean, just because, meaning Rabbeinu Tam thought that was Iker. The purposes of bracha, it doesn't mean that he thinks that also carries over to this realm. So I mean, you could be machalic in different contexts. I mean, you can argue and say, I mean, it could be they didn't understand the Amoraim like this. I'm not saying that they had to understand the Amoraim. presenting a possible suggestion. Not that everyone is mishubed to that explanation of it. Could be that either, meaning one of them held that it was true, and therefore, could be there's a klal, some certain klal yakarav, possibly Rish Lakish over Rav Yonah, let's say. So, according to what we're saying, the Rush for all the slumdas and therefore possibly like this, and Ben Tam didn't think this had to do with that. So they're not necessarily Tliyim Habaha, but even if they were, as Yisrael was saying, it's not so difficult because either they came from this Gemara, or they came from other Gemaras, which caused them to think that Achila or Shena is more accurate, right? The Rosh is clearly coming from the Sugya of Achila Sarai, or Shena Sarai, so that's one of his Rayas. So there are places, other places that they can be deriving from to, you know, generate their Sarai.
I want to note that maybe this, what Rabbi Yonah said about the bathroom, that might be a very good, you know, simon to use. Because if you're not able to take care of that by yourself, then you won't really be able to function normally in the sukkah for their call. And also there are also a lot of other categories you could use. Maybe this is sort of like the last one. Like once you've gotten over this, you've already presumably gotten over all the other ones. Once you've gotten over this, you could really take care of yourself in the sukkah during the daytime all by yourself.
Answer my question of why, if it's daytime focused, why was really giving this example? Mm-hmm. Saying because it'd be the most important one, or it's the last straw. Yeah, here, very good. Okay, so what?
This is a very strange example, because presumably everyone would have the sukkah for Misa Kisei, despite the praise of specification of the Shulchan, the only time in the sukkah. So everyone would be
I would assume that being like a parent, meaning it's something to be with your kid to be able to accompany them. I'm in the parsha right now, so yeah, meaning, so it's not just about where you have to be with them when they need to, you know, time calls. Okay, so our time is a little low, so just the moment we're just gonna really do, you know, the next part really quickly, so we can get to the last part, which I think is a little more fundamental. In terms of like the actual age machokas, in terms of what exactly the shear of Ein Tzarech Le'ima is, it seems like this is a little more technical. And just going to do this very briefly, just to, you know, lay out the different shittos really quickly. You have basically three different shittos, right? The Ra'ah and the Ran think that the age is six, which is based on the Gemara and the Erevin, which is important to know. Basically, they're using the Ein Tzarech Le'ima. When is that mature state? So basically, the Ra'ah and the Ran say that it's age six. They're getting that from the shear of Ein Tzarech Le'ima in the context of the Erevin, which is important because the Gemara there uses, basically gives that shear specifically not for the mitzvah of Sukkah, but really for the din of Ein Tzarech Le'ima in the context of Erevin. So it's interesting that the Ra'ah and the Ran go with that Lamaskana. We're going to get that, I guess, in a second really quickly. So shita number one is that it's age six. That's the Ra'ah and the Ran. Shita number two is held by both the Rambam in Vav Aleph and in the Shulchan Aruch, Tav Resh Mem Sif Beis. They hold that it's the range of ages five to six, which is also partially ignoring, similar to the Ra'ah and the Ran, they're also ignoring, you know, the shear of 4 to 5, which is mentioned by the Gemara in Erev.
5 to 6 or 5 and 6?
The range of 5 to 6. We'll exactly see what leads the Kobe. 5 or 6. Yeah, sorry, not yet. How to calculate a birthday, you know. But ages 5 or 6, that's the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch. Again, the Kesef Mishnah notes that it tries to explain why the Rambam ignores the shear of 4 to 5, 4 or 5 mentioned in the Gemara of Erevin in the context of the Mitzvah of Sukkah. But he says, oh, he gives a couple of technical answers. Either he's citing like the Gemara in like Yerushalmi, or the fact that the Gemara only mentions the shear of 4 to 5 in the Sugya and Erevin, doesn't it mention it here? That shows us lo kahalacha. That's his other point. But basically, up until now, both of these first two approaches are ignoring the Pashup Shat and then Erevin, which defines the shear of Sukkah as 4 to 5. So just a 2-second thing, just within the Rambam and Shulchan Aruch, the question is, like, what exactly is this range? I mean, what is it? And what do you mean? It's 5 or 6. So here you have two different shots. And the Kesef Mishnah says that it's 5 or 6 depending on, you know, let's say, you know, the presence of the father, you know, how involved the father is, how around he is. Or if the father is around, then the child becomes independent from his mother at a younger age, at age 5. If he's not around, that it's age 6. That chilek, or the presence of the father playing a role, again, is referenced in the Gemara in Erevin, with slightly different shiurim, but that notion of, you know, the presence of the father playing a role is already in the Gemara in Erevin. So basically, the Mishnah explains the range of 5 or 6 from the Rambam and Shulchan Aruch based on the presence of the father, while the Magen Avraham and Taz on the spot, both in Sivkot and Beis, say that it depends on the maturity of the specific child, getting back to the point we referenced before, that these shiurim are in general sense, but would be subject to the specific person at hand. And the third shita, really quickly, is the shita of the Ritzva, which seems to be the pashpshat in the Gemara in Erevin, which says, oh, the shiur is ages 4 or 5, right? Which is basically what the Gemara in Erevin basically associates the shiur of Sukkah with, assuming that it's a case where the father is around. And the Ritzva says that this is an important point. The Ritzva says, since the father is the one who would be mechayev in the chinuch, and therefore the father is present in this situation, therefore every case of sukkah is a built-in case of having the father being present. And therefore, because of the built-in case of the father being present, basically if you plug in the Gemara and Erevin, which says if the father is present, then the shir is 4 or 5. And just the last aras, the Aruch Laner on the spot, just interprets that factor of the father's presence differently and says it's not based when the Gemara says that the presence of the father makes, you know, allows the child to become more independent from his mother at an earlier age, is not talking about, oh, as in the case of Erevin, whether the father is there that Shabbos. It's a more general sense. Is that if the father is around throughout the year, then the child becomes more independent from his mother in a general sense. Therefore, he says, there's no concept like the Ritzvah is saying that, oh, there's built in, since during that week the father's going to be around, that that's a case of the father's presence, because Aruch Laner says, no, the idea of the father's presence is throughout the year, not specific to that specific week. Okay, so I'll just do that quickly. Just, it's important, and we showed him how you deal with all the evidence, but it doesn't seem like there's so much lambdas at play. So once again, the range is either 6 years old, 5 or 6, or 5 or 5. There's a lot of ors in there, but I think you get it. Okay, so the last topic that we want to just do before mincha, in the last part of the sugya, which is very important, is the shita of Beis Shammai. So if you just want to read the Gemara, the last part of the Gemara of Maisa V'Yalda Kolaso.
Maisa Listor. We're going to use a story to contradict the Mishnah.
I mean, because why? What did the Mishnah just say before?
That he's in Tzarech L'Imo,
if it's Tzarech L'Imo,
Tzarech
L'Imo
is
Pater. And in the case of Shammai, since we're talking about a baby, which... Tzarech L'Imo. It's a little confusing. So the question is, basically, what's going on here? Exactly. Those are my answers.
So
add in that sentence. So here you have the shita of Shammai that there's a chiyuv. I'll leave that vague for a second. The chiyuv, which even applies for a katan, very small katan. So the question here is, what exactly is the basis of this chiyuv? Right? It sounds like the general halachas, you try to figure out when the katan is shayach to then apply the mitzvah chinuch. So what's going on if it seems like we're under this age? What's the basis of shitas Shammai? So here we have two different approaches. So the first approach is that the chiyuv here is not midin the child, but it's really midin the father. It's the teshu, referenced this earlier. It's basically midin teshu ke'in tadiru, of the father to have his children, even small children, around. So therefore, this has nothing to do with the child. Basically, we're saying that the mitzvah incumbent upon the father requires the father to have basically ish ubnei beso, to have his entire family there for him to really be sitting in the sukkah in a ke'in tadiru type manner. And this is the Ritzvah here, as we were referencing 2 days ago, where the Ritzvah here distinguishes this context from the Nashim context and say that even though we rejected this notion of, you know, say, diras ish, ubnei beso, of the isha variety, lamaskana, he says that's only because the hava mina in the context of Nashim was to be mechayev her, to generate an independent chiyev for her. Hashem can hear where we're dealing with not being mechayev the child, but basically making the chiyuv incumbent upon the father. So here we think that Teshu Kein Tadiru does apply. He doesn't add this, but this would be parallel to which Gemara? the Gemara in Erchin, really, where even though our Gemara rejects Diras Ish V'Ishto L'maskana, it does have it L'maskana in Erchin in the context where we're talking about the Chiyuv incumbent upon the husband, parallel to here where the Chiyuv is incumbent upon the father. So that is what we were referring to, you know, to Shiurim ago when we were saying that the Ritzvah, in this context, where it basically seems to explicitly make this chiluk of whether the Chiyuv is basically on the Isha to generate a new Chiyuv, or referring to the husband slash the father to basically say to be Magdir, the pre-existing Chov that pertains to the father. So now an important question to raise in light of this, putting everything in context, is this is all Beis Shammai. The question is, what about the Rabbanan? Once we establish that Shammai Shita is about basically the din of Tesha Kinta Ziru Mitzad, the father, and we said that the Rabbanan also hold of that idea in the context of Diras Ish V'Ishto, so the question is, why, according to this Pshat, why don't the Rabbanan also hold of this idea of Tesha Kinta Ziru, just like they say Diras Ish V'Ishto Mitzad, the husband, say Diras Ish Ubnei Beso Mitzad, the father, to require his children to be there. So in short, once you give such a good explanation for Shammai, that it's exactly like the Gemara in Erechim, that you're basically the Teshu Kein Dadiru of the pre-existing Chiyuv of the father slash husband, so now the question shifts, so why here do the Chachamim reject this? Right, the same Chachamim who say the Lemaskana in Erechim, that we hold the Diras Ish, the Ishto Mitzad, the husband, so why don't they hold Diras Ish, Ubnei Beso, to require their father here to bring the children, the little babies, along? Everyone understand the question? Yeah, so to here. According to this first shot in the Ritzvah, this is all modifying the father's fear. The father, I mean, the Chiyuv is Mitzad's father that bringing the child is not Mitzad. The question is exactly the same thing. So the question is, what is the difference? So, running out of time. But basically, in short, you can say that if Teshu Kein, going back to Teshu Kein Tadiru, so yeah, right? If Teshu Kein Tadiru is all about what is the normal way of living, so then this question is very strong. Because, I mean, just like the normal way is Diras Ish V'Ishto, so too, Diras Ish Ubnei Beso. But if you think, like we explained back in the day, back a couple weeks ago, that Teshu Kein Tadiru is not just about, doing the same thing that you do in your house, but it's rather about this perspective of making, you know, the sukkah your Iker Beis Dira, your headquarters, is all about the perspective. So it could be, it's possible to suggest, you can argue this, but to say that perhaps basically having your wife with you in the sukkah has more of an impact on this being your
Simpa Sahag.
That's a simen, but meaning as a simen, really not as a siba, but meaning if you're talking about all about attaining the goal of this being my Beis Dira, it could be for a husband, it's more impactful for him to attain that goal by having his wife there than to have his children there. I don't mean to be a bad father here. But meaning, it could be that, meaning obviously that would also contribute, but we're obviously meaning the Shammai and saying that contributes enough, but the difference, at least for the Chachamim, is that they're drawing the line between Diras Ish V'Ishto and Diras Ish Ubnei Beso, because within this perspective of this all being a shear in making the sukkah my primary headquarters, it could be that having your wife there has a bigger impact to attain that goal than having your children there. Just try it, because you have two more minutes, and hopefully we'll have an extra minute for your question. So that's within this first, right? So the first approach to the Chumrah of Shammai is that it's really midin, it's Teshu Kein Tadiru, midin the father. We just pointed out, and then you have to account for why Rabbanan don't hold that. The second shot is that is given by both the Ran and the Ritzvah, they're in the Ritzvah's second day, is that really this is midin chinuch, right? The Chachamim held that the Shir Chinuch was Ein Tzarech Lihimo. And the Shammai argue, that the Shir Chinuch even applies to a baby. And what's their lashon? Is because even a child is roi for the Maisa of Achila. Right? Shekein Adin b'chol mitzvah l'chaybo b'chinuch kolzman she'efshir v'roi l'kach. Kolzman, that the child is roi to do the mitzvah, he's subject to the mitzvah midin chinuch. So therefore, Shammai is arguing, since the child can eat, so therefore, he's subject to the mitzvah chinuch. And then the Rabbanan come along and say, no, really, you're not right to do the mitzvah, kolzman that it's tzarech l'imo. The question is, what exactly is machlokes? they arguing about, you know, whether a child can be fed in the sukkah? It sounds like in Mitzvahs, you know, obviously you can feed the child in the sukkah. So what exactly is this machlokes about whether such a baby, such a young child, would be ro'i to do the mitzvah? So again, this could relate to the, you know, general the perspective on the mitzvah of sukkah. I mean, the question is whether the mitzvah of sukkah is about performing discrete actions of achila, shtia, and shena in the sukkah. Is that all the mitzvah is? That's what the ma'aseh mitzvah are. And if you take that, then Beis Shammai's position makes a lot of sense. Because if it's all about those concrete actions, then a child can be fed, can perform the achila, and can sleep in the sukkah. But it could be that the Rabbanan are coming along and say, no, the mitzvah of sukkah, as we've been developing, is more than just those discrete actions. It's about this cerebral component of changing the sukkah into your kavua, beis dira, and for that, obviously, a dependent child is not roi for that action. So basically, the machlokes in terms of whether, sounds like basically the machlokes of whether this child is, you know, roi for the ma'aseh mitzvah will be basically totally on how are you magdir the ma'aseh mitzvah. Is the ma'aseh mitzvah just a physical action, or is a physical action really as part of a larger cerebral component, which therefore would be limited to older children? So now, it's in a piece, huh?
Yeah, Rebbe wanted to imply that they brought the child into the sukkah.
Or they made a sukkah on
yeah,
it.
Yeah, but if that was the case, then how is it you should be so exact together necessarily with the child?
Oh, meaning, I hear, meaning, as you're asking on the first day of the Ritzvah. And it's also like, this is one of those questions, like, meaning, the yisod of being chayv in a sukkah is based on teshu kein tadiru. So, at the end of the day, you can't, or if not Rav Elazar, if you think that each person can have their own sukkah, the way you can implement it could be that you're not with the other person, but meaning in terms of when you're magdir, who is chayv, it's based on teshu kein tadiru, even though, right, if, when implemented, it can end up doing. I'll take questions on the way. I just don't want everyone to be late.